Snowy, a very good afternoon, or well, it's still morning for you, but very good morning to you. A very good afternoon from here. And first of all, tell us about the ice hockey. What happened?
Well, we're right in the middle of the game right now, John, and it's you can find it live on YouTube, and I've got it on in the background here. Ireland is off to a 3-0 lead with about 4 minutes left in the second period of play, and this is a big deal in its own way, right? Like this is a development cup. It was started by the president of the Irish Ice Hockey Federation, and he worked with the president of the Andorran Ice Hockey Federation, and they work together. And what they're trying to do, I mean, the spirit of this is that they want to get the countries that are the ones that are most close to meeting the minimum participation standards needed to compete in the IIHF World Championships program. So, you know, it's low level for developing countries, but it's pretty, I've been watching the quality of the play. It's not bad. Ireland rolled through this whole thing. They were 5-0 in the preliminary rounds, and they're about to win it. They're up 3-0. They're up 1-0 after one period, and they're now up 3-0 as in the closing stages of the second period. And just the little bit that I've been able to pick up, I've got a local guy here that is a hockey legend, coach at the high school level over here. So his son is actually playing for Team Ireland. And so I've been able to get some inside information. There are some certainly some players that are coming just through their Irish descent, but there are also some Irish born players. And actually, there's a young guy named Harvey Woolridge who came up through the junior Belfast Giants, who's really high school age playing at this level and supposed to be quite a player. So it's pretty exciting. I sent you the roster and some pictures. And just for the record, in this final round, Ireland is playing Portugal. Portugal actually has a bunch of professional minor league hockey players on their roster. So it's no joke. I mean, you've got a number of college, U.S. college players playing for Ireland. You've got some European players playing for Ireland. I just think it's a really nice story. And it's if we could build a few more rinks in the Republic, you'd start to qualify up at the higher levels.
Well, the question is, I mean, obviously, and I know this from different sports. I did an interview with a girl who was part of the Irish lacrosse team going to the World Championship, and she's a doctor based here in Galway, and a lot of it's self-funded. And, you know, okay, we don't have the history of your Canadas or your United States or your Finlands or your Swedens or Germanys. You know, we don't have that kind of tradition when it comes to ice hockey, and these guys probably have to fund themselves as well. So, you know, the hope would be that if they do stay, it stays 3-0, that, or even better, that, you know, it might make some people actually maybe sit up and take notice a little bit.
I think that you've said it perfectly, John, so I won't even try to add to that other than to tell you you've got 18 seconds left in this second period. It's still 3-0 Ireland. Exciting stuff. I think what you really need is to get the people, as you say, interested. You need to get some well-heeled developer that says, let's build a couple of sheets of ice. And that was always the key over here when Canada ruled international hockey along with Russia. The United States needed the spur of some success and their own superstars to get the attention to get more rinks built in some cities that never even heard of hockey. So it's possible. And it's listen, maybe we'll concoct some long range strategy to make this happen.
Maybe. By the way, I'm interrupting just to let people know that Shannon Sweeney from Westport, from the St. Anne Boxing Club, has just won gold at the European Elite Boxing Championships in Belgrade following victory over Bulgaria's Zlatislava Jena Shukanova. So we have an Irish success in boxing, and hopefully one more to come a little bit later on from Aoife O'Rourke. Anyway, back to American sports, and actually I want to talk about the NFL draft. It's very interesting this year. Obviously there was a talk about the Irish guys who went over and whatever, but what have been the main talking points so far? And I hear that there's actually an Irish announcement being made as well. in Ireland tonight. How true is that? I don't know. So, I mean, it's this is globally turning into a big story.
Yeah, it's what's amazing is even domestically here, the draft itself has become bigger than some would even tell you the Super Bowl. If you can imagine, it's really, it's a unique story. You know, you had 275,000 people that stood basically in a parking lot with a big hood over it. And, you know, you're watching young guys get up on stage and, you know, get the hat of their prospective team that just drafted them, shaking hands with the commissioner and welcoming them to the league. And they get representation of all 32 teams. People come in. So this year it's in Detroit. It's becoming a spectacle. It moves. Now you've got cities that are vying to host this. It ends up being, it's a 3-day activity, right? There's 3 days of actually drafting going on, 7 rounds in all. Today is the final day. They'll do rounds 3 through 7 today. The attendance is blown out of the water, 275,000. The viewership in the States, 12.1 million average viewers over hours of time. It adds up to individual viewers of 34.3 million viewers to tune in and watch these guys' futures be determined in real time. It's really wild. And in the wildest dreams of the NFL, they never could have imagined this taking off the way it has.
But I remember, and I'm one of those guys of a certain age that remembers when it was a kind of an afterthought. It was like, no, these are guys that are going to come in, but they're going to get absolutely mushed by the pros when they actually come in. They're high guys. You know, the only one who actually ever got any kind of discussion was the guy who won the Heisman Trophy. And to be very honest with you, most of those guys were followed by stories of what could have been. So what's changed? What's happened in the last 5-10 years?
That's a great question. I bet we could fill, you know, quite a long segment talking about what's changed. I think a lot of it is just coverage, right? That with the growth of technology, there's, you know, everybody's got the same access to information, scouting, coaches, what have you. So what becomes the challenge is finding that, you know, somebody hiding under a rock. You know, somebody that Tom Brady is a perfect example, right? Tom Brady was a 6th round draft pick. You know, if you go, and I know everybody's seen it who has any interest in it. He wasn't, you know, physically gifted in the traditional sense. He didn't look like a Greek god back then by any means. And, you know, he was somebody that was sort of found hanging around. Yes, he played at the University of Michigan, but he wasn't the superstar. He wasn't a Heisman Trophy winner. So you're looking for that type of find mixed with that Mr. Irrelevant, right? That's late in these rounds. If you're a 7th round draft pick, you know, the chances of you making a roster are really remote. So I think you want me to give you the simple answer. It's one word. It's hope. That's what people are watching. They're watching hope. Maybe we catch lightning in a bottle here. And it's a, you know, these are big ticket items when you're talking 1st round draft picks, right? These guys are going to sign for millions of dollars.
Yeah, and let's say, but I mean, well, I suppose maybe I get a bit cynical in my older age, but you seem to get the impression that, you know, sometimes when you see the success of the families and all that, it's like you're looking at dollar signs in their eyes, which is also, and that's the other side of the, and I know that because there have been plenty of cases of guys that have been top draft picks who have, for one reason or another, not been the success that they would like to be. If I can do that,
it's more often the case, John.
I'm being politically correct when I say that. You know,
yes.
You know, but I mean,
yes. So
that's the thing,
John. Here's the advice: if you've got a young athletic child, boy or girl, I say make them a quarterback because there were just 6 quarterbacks drafted in the first 12 picks. And those are your money makers if they make it, right? Of those 6, I'd say you'd be lucky to get 2 that break through, maybe 1 that becomes a star. You know, so that's it's a lot of hype. It's got a very glossy sheen to it. But, you know, I just can't get over the numbers and that the viewership over the course of 3 days and during this week, they're saying, is bigger than the hype related to the Super Bowl. Because with the Super Bowl, you're really talking about two fan bases. But with the draft, you're talking about all 32 teams and their fans.
Yeah, it's look, it's just such a oh, I don't know what you can call it. It's just been incredible. By the way, as you're keeping an eye on the ice hockey, any change in the score? The second period is over now.
After two periods, I'm clicking right now, John, because you have my undivided. The Zamboni is running across the ice, and it's 3-0 Ireland going into the third period, and they'll just have to bring it home from there, and they will have won the IIHF Men's Development Cup.
And you're hearing it exclusively on Galway Bay FM. Also, speaking of, just to mention, of course, it's three periods of ice hockey, just in case people are wondering. So it's now going into the third and final period. How long is it?
20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay, I knew I was miles off there. Let's talk about the playoffs. Speaking of hockey, you've got playoffs at NHL and NBA level this week.
Yeah, so the NHL got underway, both leagues got underway with their playoffs, and there is a real difference when the puck drops in the playoffs. I mentioned it last week, particularly in hockey, you notice right away the hitting is so much more frequent. Two of the lighter hitting teams, Boston and Toronto, are locked in a series right now. Right now, Boston Bruins are up 2-1 over Toronto. They play tonight up in Toronto. These are all best of seven series that we're speaking about. But these are two of the lighter hitting teams, and they are just absolutely destroying each other night after night. The first period, there was 100 registered hits. That's a huge number. Typically in a period, it's, 40 to 60 hits that are registered. 100 in the first period just the other night in game three. So, teams get agitated as those series come along. The rivalries get very personal over the course of 4 to 7 games. And as you get deeper in, they know each other very well. They're getting a little tired of leaning on one another, and it gets really, really super physical. And, the talent always rises to the top. And right now, go ahead, John.
Yeah, no, I'm actually probably going to say what you were going to say. Right now, that talent is rising to the top, and this is where now we start to get excited about these kind of things.
No doubt. And in the Eastern Conference, the Rangers, New York Rangers, are up 3-0 over Washington. And when a team goes up 3-0 in a series, not only is it just historically near impossible to come back in a 7-game series, it's happened, but it's, you can count it on one hand over all these years. And so in the Eastern Conference, three of these series are at 3-0 right now. The Rangers look to be moving on over Washington. The Carolina Hurricanes, 3-0 over the New York Islanders. Florida, 3-0 over Tampa Bay, which is a bit of a surprise. Like, they're fairly evenly matched. And then I mentioned the Bruins, 2-1 over Toronto currently. Over in the West, Las Vegas, the defending Stanley Cup champions, up 2-0 over Dallas. And then you've got Colorado, 2-1 over Winnipeg. Vancouver, 2-1 over Nashville. And Edmonton, 2-1 over the Kings. So in the East, I'd say the Bruins would be wise to win tonight, because these other teams are about to roll through this series, and we all know that rest will matter. Playing those extra games will wear a team down. So, you got to move quickly, and you got to stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we go, NHL, NBA, of course, is going to be quite interesting. Let's talk about anything else. Is there anything else that kind of grabs the attention this week? Although everybody will be just glued to the TV. And if that announcement is made from Ireland tonight regarding the draft, I think it'll be the first time that's ever happened. So yeah, we could be in for a fun night.
And so, John, are you alluding to a game being played over in Dublin? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm... That seems to be... There's a whisper. I'm not confirming it. I got a whisper.
I've heard it here.
I got a whisper this morning. That's actually... I got a whisper of it this morning by somebody that I would know very well. And I said, well, let's dig a little bit. What's the thing? We'll hop a ball on this and let's see what happens. We could be in for something special.
That would be great. And I would imagine it'll involve the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? The de facto team of Ireland, right? Through the Rooney family.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, look, Hey, you know what? Let's will we say it anyway, and then look. Sometimes it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Anyway, Snowy, so good to talk to you, my friend. By the way, just before we go, I want to mention about the Go United Women looking to break that record next week. I see your post.
You're the best. You're a mind reader. That's all I wanted to jam in there. Yeah, please go on.
Well, Go United Women playing next Saturday night. They're playing DLR Waves. They want to break the attendance record. I saw your post about it, and it's only fair that we give it a really good blast because hopefully they'll get a great crowd.
Yeah, and let's hope the weather holds out. Certainly the work that's being done by the co-op and by the board of the club to get that information out there. It should be quite an atmosphere next Saturday. And these ladies, Phil Trill has these ladies playing at top level. They've got a big game this weekend against Piedmont. And, you know, regardless of the result there, we're really hoping people in the Galway community and greater Galway and Ireland will come and join us at Eamon DC Park to break an attendance record. That we want to break it for the club. We want to break it for women's football. And what excitement it would be and will be, regardless of the numbers, next Saturday night. And I will be there and hope to see a lot of smiling faces there.
Absolutely. So you'll be over next weekend. Nice one.
I will be over.
Snowy, so good to talk to you. Thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of the weekend.
John, enjoy it yourself. Take care, everyone.